Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Telephone, tell a friend, amen. If you want to hear a good word, to drop in, amen. As we move forward, we'd like to let you know that we're an interactive ministry. If you like, if you have a question or so, you can ask a question to the speaker or anyone online. We are interactive in that way. We also have a Zoom that you could tune into. And the Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And you would type in the passcode Psalm 23. That's capital P-S-A-L-M without an S, 23. And you can be on the Zoom. If you'd like to see, match your voice with a face, you can go that route. And we also like to inform you that if you'd like to listen to this message, if you have to drop off or you want to share it with a friend, share it with someone, you can go into the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio. Then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up this message. And we have numerous other messages, dynamic speakers that have been on. And let the Lord just bless you. I remember a time that we used to go to the club, you know, just to listen to music, and we just stand and just sing the oldies but goodies. And now the Lord has changed my heart, and hopefully yours soon, that you're singing the tune of Jay, in tune of Jay, amen, Jesus, letting God speak to your spirit and your life. We are in Chicago, Illinois, and we like to, the next voice you hear will be none other than Bishop Eddie Harris, who has came. I'm so happy that he came on for us this evening. We had another speaker. I did call him the last minute, and I thank him for coming on with a word from the Lord. Amen. I do thank him for that. It's so good when you can always call on someone and they always have a sermon ready. Amen. That is very, very important, and that just shows that men and the women of God, they're always ready, in season as well, season. So I'm going to stop all of this talking, and I'm going to get out of the way, and the next voice that you hear would be none other than Bishop Eddie Harris. Amen. Good evening, Sister Terrace. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Amen. And good evening to all of those who tune in by internet, as well as those who tune in, call in via phone. Amen. The call-in number is 347-237-4054 if you would like to call in if you have a message or a question. Amen. Bishop Harris, are you there?
I am here. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Truly,
praise
I think.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm turning it on over to you.
Amen. Amen.
And again, thank you so much for, you know, for standing in that gap for us and coming forth between you and Pastor Miles and Bishop Storrs. I mean, you know, you guys are always has always been a blessing, and I do thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. Okay.
No problem, none whatsoever. I think of the song, That's What Friends Are For. She said, in good times and bad times, knowing you can always count on me. Well, that's where
Amen.
I am. I'm here. Whenever you need me, you can always count on me because I'm a true
Amen.
Friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I truly thank, no problem. I thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity. I never take it for granted. Anytime I'm given the opportunity to spread God's word or to give God's word, because truly it is a serious matter when it comes to dealing with the gospel and the fact that he trusts stand over his people and the people that are under him that are listening to him. I thank God for that. I ask you to forgive me this evening for not being on Zoom, but this ain't a face you need to see on Zoom. I have what they call a face for radio. I have a face for radio, you know. I look good behind the scenes.
Pastor Miles was cracking up.
Yes, I have a face for radio. So please forgive me for not being on Zoom. I don't want to distract you while we go into the Word of God. Amen. I truly thank God. I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, to all of the pastors and the ecclesia on the line, to Dr. Clay and to his wonderful wife, Dr. Suzanne Clay. I thank God again for you two and for giving me this opportunity. I truly count it an honor and a blessing and a privilege to be able to be before you this evening. And before we go any further, I'm going to open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you and praising you for your grace and your mercy, God. Thanking you for the opportunity that you have given us, God. But Lord, more so than that, but thanking you for allowing us to have one more day, God. Allowing us to have your breath breathe into us, God, and to give us life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And now, God, I ask that you move me out the way and that you step in the way, God. Give a word to the people, God, something that they will be able to use and something that they'll be able to put in their hearts, Lord, and keep it near them. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 If you turn with me tonight, I want to go to a very familiar passage of scripture, one I'm sure you've heard a lot of times if you've been in church. I want you to go with me to Ezekiel 37, and we're going to talk about the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I'm going to read first from the NIV. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I'm going to stop right there for the moment. If I was to take a topic this evening, the topic would be, there's a resurrection for your situation. Again, my topic for the evening is there's a resurrection for your situation. So before I go any further, let's see what it means to resurrect. A resurrection is to revive or to bring back to life. So there's a revive or life for your situation. I don't know about you, but I've been in a dead situation. Do I have anybody on the line this evening that been in a dead, dry situation? Mm-hmm. A situation seemed like everything is falling apart. Situation seemed like you ain't going to make it. A situation that seems like God has totally forgotten about you. A dry place. Anybody been in that place before? This Amen. Is where the man of God found himself. He said, the hand of the Lord was on me and brought me out by the Spirit. So understand, he wasn't literally in the desert in the midst of bones, but this was like a vision that God showed him while he was out in the Spirit. And while he was out in the Spirit, God began to take him to the Valley of Bones. And he said, the hand of the Lord was on me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of dry bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor. And he asked me, son of man, can these live? I began to think about that, a great many bones. And in this essence, bones can equal problems. How many of us got a great many problems? A great many situations? How many of us got a kid that ain't doing right? And we can't seem to get that kid to do right, a situation. How many of us on the line got a husband that we praying for, that he just don't seem like he going to get it together? And we are sick of dealing with it. As a matter of fact, you sick and tired of being sick and tired. You come home, the situation seems bad. You turn around, the situation seems bad. And you say, God, What am I supposed to do? But he said to you, son of man, can your situation live? I need you to ask yourself that this evening. Can your situation live? Can you believe that life can be re-given to your situation? Can you believe that your situation can be revived? Ah, y'all don't want to hear me this evening. But see, before it can be done, you got to be able to answer the question. He said, son of man, can these bones live? So let's see what he said. I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. And I'm going to stop there again. So God asked him, can these bones live? God's asking you tonight, can your situation live? Can life be given to your dead situation? Can life be given to your dry situation? And I'm sure you, like many other people, said, God, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. And what did God tell him? God said, prophesy to your own situation. I come to you this evening to tell you, right here from Chicago, Illinois, from my little old house out in the suburbs, that tonight is the night that you prophesy to your situation. I come to tell you that your situation has ended if you can prophesy to your situation. Well, Bishop, how do I prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy to my situation? Excuse me. To prophesy is to make inspired declarations of what is to come. So I dare you tonight to make an inspired declaration. Don't just declare, oh, it's this and oh, it's that. I declare it. No, an inspired. I'm inspired by God because I believe what he told me. So I am inspired to believe that this situation can live.
Mm-hmm.
But can you afford to give it to him? Ah, see, that's the trick. Can you afford to give it to him? Because, see, before we can go anywhere or anything, let's look at some things. We've been, I'm sure, in a dead and a dry situation. And I'm telling you now the secret to get out of it. But in order to even be able to begin to get out of it, you got to be right. How you going to prophesy to something when you ain't got nothing going on yourself? Huh? How you going to prophesy if you ain't got your situation right? But I promise you that if you get your stuff right and if you get yourself together, then you can begin to look at the situation. But you got to get yourself together. See, he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Mm. So he said, all you got to do is speak. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. The songwriter says, speak over yourself. I dare you right now while you are listening to me preach, begin to speak to yourself. Begin to prophesy to yourself. Begin to say, look, I'm not dealing with this no more. I don't have to deal with this no more because it don't belong to me.
Man.
Why are you still dealing with something that don't belong to you? Huh? Why are you in a dry situation? Why are you in a dead situation? What have you done? Is it because you have not had what it takes to prophesy to your situation? See, the problem is we feel we got to go to church And we got to go find a preacher that's going to prophesy to us, because he's going to prophesy to me, and he's going to tell me what I need to hear. Why? Last time I checked, God is just like the mailman. He know where to deliver your mail to. Why do you feel he always has to deliver your mail to somebody else? If the Postmaster General can get it right, why can't God get it right?
Amen.
Why can't God speak to you himself? And why can't you speak to God? How is your relationship with God? I told you, there's a resurrection for your situation. There's a revive in place for your situation, but are you ready to accept it?
Mm.
See, you got to be in a place to be able to prophesy to yourself. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Before you can begin to prophesy to your situation, you got to know, I don't have no fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I'm not scared. Yes, I know the enemy is going to come at me. Yes, I know the enemy is going to attack me. But again, he told me it don't matter if he comes at me, because even if he comes at me, it's not going to prosper. See, you got to learn to stand on his word. In order to resurrect your situation, you got to know God's word. In order to know God's word, you got to read God's word. You got to get in God's word. You got to eat it and take it inside of you. And then you can spit it back up when the time comes. And you can speak to the situation. You can speak to the problem. But that's the thing. You can't prophesy because you ain't got nothing to spit back up. Because when you go to spit back up, what are you spitting up? Gossip? The Housewives of Atlanta? Or maybe yours ain't the Housewives of Atlanta. Maybe yours is hip, Love and Hip Hop Miami. Maybe yours ain't Love and Hip Hop Miami. Maybe yours is the new Golden Bachelor. But you got to take time, because you got to have a relationship with God. And then you got to take it in. See, when I was a little boy, my parents used to make me eat vegetables. And I hated my vegetables. But they used to tell me, your vegetables are going to make you grow big and strong. And because I wanted to be big and I wanted to be strong, I ate my vegetables. Now, did they really help me grow big and strong? I don't know. I did a lot of weightlifting. I played football. So I was kind of big and strong anyway. But I ate my vegetables because I wanted to get something. And in order to get something, I had to give something. So I had to give eating my vegetables, because eating my vegetables made me feel that if I did 30 push-ups, that was going to help boost my push-ups. If I did weightlifting, that was going to help boost my weightlifting. So it's the same way when it comes to your relationship with God. What are you giving so that you can prophesy to your own situation? What have you gave God? What are you giving God? Oh, yeah, we got to figure that part out. See, we can't just speak over the situation. You can't just speak over yourself. You speak. Do you got any power? See, it takes more than just talk. Yes, I am saying that you can prophesy to your situation, but before you can prophesy to your situation, you got to be in the right place. You got to be in the right place with God. You got to be where you can talk to God. See, a lot of us, that's the problem. We treat God like a side chick. We only want to call him when we need him. Oh, any man ever been on his phone, had a side chick, you know how that works. That's the girl to get the call on the day after Valentine's. That's the girl who might get called Saturday because you went out with your main girl on Friday. Or she might get Sunday if ain't no football on. And that's how we treat God. We put him on the shelf until we need him. I can't take God with me right now. I'm getting ready to go to the club. So I'm going to have to take you and leave you on the shelf, God, because I'm going to the club. I can't take God with me right now, because what I'm going to do, God don't need to see. So I'm going to leave you on the shelf right now, God, because I got to go do what I'm going to do, and then I want to pick you up when I come back. And that's the problem. We want to just sit God down when we want to sit him down. But then when we need him, oh, God, my situation, I can't deal with it. And he like, you want me to fix your situation, but you didn't want me a few hours ago. You didn't want me when you was getting ready to go to the club, remember? See, we tend to forget that the Bible tells us that he's a jealous God.
Right.
He literally told us in the Word, you should have no other God before me. I'm jealous. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. He's God. He can be jealous. I ain't sharing you. I don't like to share. Guess what? I understand because I'm the same way. I don't like to share. I don't want to share. And if I need to share you, then you and I don't need to be together because that's not what I like to do. And that's the same way God is. God doesn't want to share. But I promise you, if you begin to pull it together, you begin to do what God is telling you, you begin to get in the Word, then you can speak to your situation. Because he said, I will make breath enter. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. This is what he said to the bones. I will make breath into you. I want you to think about that. Your situation that is dead, that you don't know how to deal with, God said, if you speak to it, I'll put breath in it. But you got to speak to it. You got to know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is who he say he is.
Yes.
But the thing is, we lack that one small little word, five little letters, faith. We lack that. We can't give stuff to God. We're scared to trust God. But the Bible says that obedience is better than a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about anybody on this line, but I hear that preached quite often. Obedience, obedience. Obedience. Okay. So you're saying, I obey you, God. I obey. But do you obey him? See, the thing is, you make $70,000 a year, and you know that your check going to be after taxes $2,500, $3,000 every 2 weeks. That ain't trusting God. That ain't trusting God counting your check before it comes. Because you already know the check going to come. Trusting God is when you don't know the check is going to come. And you like, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but you're going to take care of it. Now, understand, I'm not telling you to go out and spend your money and be silly. I'm not telling you to go out and don't pay your bills. But what I'm saying is that when things get tight, as they sometimes will, and when things become to where it seems that it's a problem or there's no peace in your house the way you want it to be, he said that he will resurrect your situation. I promise you, just like I said in the title, there's a resurrection for your situation. And when I think of resurrection, and I know I'm kind of jumping around in the Bible, but I think about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It was a resurrection. 1 minute he was dead. Next minute, Jesus spoke to him, and he was alive. I go to when Paul was preaching, and the young man was sitting in a windowsill, and Paul was preaching so long, the young man fell asleep and fell out the window and died. And he was dead. One moment he was dead. Next moment, the man of God spoke to him, and he was alive. Same way it has to be with your situation. You got to trust God enough. He said that if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be removed. And I always tell the story of the lady that had an actual mountain in the back of her house. And she said, Lord, you told me that if I have the grain of a mustard seed, if my faith is that, that I can say to this mountain, be removed. And she prayed, and she stood on her prayer. And a week later, some surveyors came out. And the surveyors came out, and they were taking pictures and marking up stuff. And she said, can I ask you all, what are you doing? And they said, well, we're finna blast through the mountain because we're going to put a street on the other side because we're getting ready to start building another set of houses. She said, so the mountain is going to be gone? He said, yes, ma'am. Within the next 2 weeks, we're going to blow this mountain away, and you'll have a view. She began to praise God. Why? Because she trusted God for simply what he said, to believe, have just the faith with the grain of a mustard seed, and you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it would be moved. She spoke to the mountain, and it was moved. I'm here to say to you this evening, if you speak to your situation, prophesy to your situation, speak over your life, I dare you this evening to take my words and speak over your life. I dare you to speak life to your situation. I dare you to speak life to what's going on right now in your life. I dare you to prophesy to yourself and speak life and watch what'll happen.
Yes.
I promise you, because you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. See, the thing is, if you know who you are, you don't have a problem with speaking. In Esther 4:14, he says, I was made for such a time as this. You were made for such a time as what you're dealing with right now. My mother used to tell me all the time. She said, you know what, son? When things are too hard for other people, they're just right for us. And me and my brothers, that's one of the mantras that we live by. When things are too hard for everybody else, it's just right for me. And I'm here to tell you tonight that when things are too hard for everybody else, it's just right for you because you have somebody that everybody else don't have. You have somebody that's got your back because he said in Psalms 23, yea, though you walk through the valley and the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. Why? Because he is with you. His rod and his staff is there to comfort you. And then what did he say he'd do? In the midst of your dry bones, in the midst of your dead situation, I'll prepare a table right here. Because I'm God. I'm just that bad. In the midst of what you're going through, I'll prepare a table of everything that you need. You got to trust me. Then he turned around and he said, after I do all that, I make you one more promise. Surely, goodness and mercy. If I was you, I'd get excited right now. Because no matter where you go, you got goodness in the front and you got mercy in the back. And I promise you, ain't nothing going to be able to get to you because, see, you got something covering you in the front and you got something covering you in the back. And you got something there that every time the devil sends a dart, it's there to stop it. Yeah, it's coming, but it ain't getting near you. But you got to believe. You have to believe. The key word tonight, if you don't get anything else out of what I said, believe.
Believe.
Believe that it is so. Believe that what he has said, he will do. He said, I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. Everything he says, he's going to do. If he promised you it, he's going to do it. So he said, you were built for such a time as this. You are able to handle what you're going through. Psalms 139:14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He made me fearfully and wonderfully. I am here. I am strong. I am somebody. I know some people say, well, that ain't scripture, Bishop. No, it ain't. But sometimes you just got to speak to yourself. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I don't know about you, but you know how I like to watch every once in a while Tyler Perry's old shows. And Brown used to get in the mirror and he'd be like, "Self, you got to get yourself together. You got to get in the mirror sometimes. You got to say, self, look at here. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Self, I was made for such a time as this. Self, our situation around me. I speak to every situation, self, because God has made me who he wants me to be." But as I go down toward the end of this, and I'm not going to go where he said he will attach tendons and flesh and all of that, but he said, "I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." I will put breath in you. I'll give you breath. I'll speak breath into you, speak life. I'll revive you. And then you will know that I am the Lord. You will know. Not you will hear the preacher say it. Not you will know that your mama knew and she told you. Not that prophetess Betty, whoever, told you, but that you know. See, you got to get to know God for yourself. What is your relationship like? How is your relationship? Like I said earlier, do you treat God like he a side chick? Because if you treat God like he a side chick, he said, "I ain't for the part-time." He literally said in his scripture, that I would prefer that you be either hot or cold. Because if you lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So he ain't going to play the harlot. He ain't going to play the side chick. He like, look, it's either I'm number one or I ain't nothing at all. I ain't playing that. You don't come and holler at me when you want to holler at me. You don't come and get at me when you want to get at me. You need to have a relationship with me. We need to be in a relationship. You know how you was younger and a little boy kiss you and then you say, "Okay, we in a relationship now. We boyfriend and girlfriend." That same way it is with God. God said, "All right, you want me? You want to use me? Then you need to want me. And then if you want me and I know that you're serious, I'll make it all happen. I'll bring it together for you. But you got to want me." And the problem is, well, we don't always want all of God. We just don't. We don't want all of God. You know? And it's just, it's funny because we'll ask, we say, "Look, God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. God, I need you to do this." But then what? Stop for a minute and see if we got any comments, any questions, anything. We've been going for almost a half an hour, so let's see if we got any comments or questions. Amen. Any comments or questions?
I'm enjoying the way that you're breaking this down. The life lessons, the layers are just awesome. Thank you so much for your teaching tonight. I've truly been over here shouting, had the Zoom on mute so I could clap and shout, lean back and holler. So thank you for your good teaching.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I truly thank God. I truly thank God. I want to take a moment, and I want to go to Romans 12 and 2. Give me just a moment. I need to find that. I didn't have it pulled up. Give me just a moment. I'm still old school, y'all. I don't always use technology. I still use the Bible. One that's all marked up and that I can barely see. I just told somebody, I said, I'm going to have to get one with large print. because I'm like, I can't do this. But I want to go to Romans. Let's see. I want to go to Romans 12 and 2. And I'm going to actually start at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason I read that is because until you get it together, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The reason I read that is because before you can begin to prophesy to your situation, before you can begin to speak to your situation, before you can even begin to try to bind up your situation, I need you to ask yourself, how is my life? Do I present my body as a living sacrifice? Is your body holy and acceptable unto God? Or do you got some shortcomings? I know this might not be the hooping and hollering that you was hoping to hear or that you wanted to hear, but this is what we need. See, all of us are going through a lot of different trials and tribulations, and God knows in this climate that we're living in, life is really a hot mess. Interest rates are high. The economy is out of whack. I don't know about y'all, but here in Chicago, food costs a fortune. And if you got a family, going to a grocery store trying to feed your family is not an easy task. But all of this will drive you crazy if you don't have your stuff in order. But I promise you that if you just do, as the Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that's the least you can do. That's what he said. You want me to take care of this? No problem. I'll knock it out. Just do what I asked you to do. That's the least you can do. And then he said, don't be conformed to this world. Okay, so what? The economy is out of whack. So what? The interest rates are high. What's that got to do with you? I'm God. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let this stuff worry you. You worry the reason you're dealing with dry situations because you're letting the wrong things worry you. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't be transformed until your mind has been changed. You can't be transferred out of dealing with your bad situation until your mind has been changed. See, once your mind has been renewed and your mind has been changed, then you can prove that which is acceptable and which is the acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'm here to tell you that the will of God is to fix your dry situation. But in order to fix it, you got to have your mind fixed. You got to have your mind in order. I was reading something, and it made a lot of sense to me. Simply stated, renewing your mind, according to Romans 12 and 2, means interpreting life through the lens of God's word and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There you go. Interpreting life through the lens of God's word. So if you put on the right set of glasses and you start to see things through God's word. See, when you put on the right set of glasses, you say, oh, I'm not in a dry situation. Oh, He's bringing life to this situation. I had the wrong glasses on all the time. Come on, y'all. Y'all need to put some of these glasses on. Because when I put these on, the grass ain't brown no more. Mm.
Mm.
When I renew my mind and I get myself together, it ain't dry over here no more. Things are coming together. When I do what I'm supposed to do, this ain't a skeleton no more. Because I renewed my mind. I got myself together, and now I see things in a different way. I dare you this evening to trust him. Excuse me. I dare you to trust him. I dare you to renew your mind. I dare you to stand on his word. I dare you to get in the word, read the word, swallow the word, let the word get down in you, and then regurgitate it to your situation. Situation, I'm not speaking to you. This is God speaking to you.
Hallelujah.
And I promise you, amen, when you spit up God's word, God will step in and he'll move and he'll do what you need him to do. But you got to trust God. You got to believe God. You got to know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt. The Bible says, I've been old. I'm sorry. I've been young. And now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I didn't tell you.
Amen.
I've been young, and now I'm old. According to the two preachers that I talked to, I'm not that old, Dr. Clay. But I promise you this, as long as I've lived, I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Amen.
But I tell you what I have seen. I've seen what faith can do.
Amen.
Before I close out tonight, I had a different topic that I was going to use. And I'm just going to tell you what it was. I had a totally different topic. And my topic was going to be, do you have a same God mentality? Because, see, you got to have a same God mentality. Because you got to know that he's the same God that did it then. He's the same God that will do it now. I promise you, you got to have a same God mentality. He's the same God that did it for them. He's the same God that will do it for me. I've seen him do it before. I know he'll do it again. I trust him and I believe him. But I ask you tonight, do you have a same God mentality?
Amen.
Do you have it? Do you know that the same God that did heal these dry bones is the same God that will come and fix your situation?
Ooh, Lord, the same
God that spoke to Ezekiel and told him what to do is the same God who will come down and talk to you and tell you what to do.
Yes.
Amen. Do you have a same God? Do you have a same God mentality? What kind of mentality do you have this evening? Huh? Do you have a doubting mentality? Do you have a mentality that says, I don't believe God? Maybe you got Peter's mentality. You trusted him enough to get out on the water, but now that you see the water, you ain't trusting him, and you beginning to drown. But I dare you to be like Peter and begin to call on him. See, when Peter called on him, I know we got to get off of here, but there's something about the name of Jesus.
When you begin
to call on him, I promise you if you just call on him, I promise you if you just call his name, there's power in the name. There's power in the name. I'm talking to somebody on this line tonight. You're going through something right now, and you don't know how to handle it, but there's power in the name of Jesus. I dare you. Sometimes you ain't calling. But he said he hear our groans and our moans. Sometimes you just got to, oh, my God. Sometimes you just got to, you can't even talk.
But he said,
I hear that. And even though you can't say nothing, I still got you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Because there's something about the name of Jesus. I think Rance Allen said it best. Something about the name of Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. I don't know about you, but there's something about the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But as I begin to close tonight, and I get ready to turn it back over to Dr. Clay, I want you to know there's a resurrection for your situation.
Amen.
I promise you. I promise you, your
Amen.
Situation can go from laying dead to standing straight up. I promise you. And I mean, it don't matter what the situation is. Just because you thought it was dead don't mean nothing, because he's a resurrection kind of God.
Yes.
He's. I'm going to say that one more time. Somebody didn't get that. Somebody missed a shout right there. He's a resurrection kind of God. Resurrection is his thing.
Yeah.
You know how they say, this is my thing and that's my thing? Resurrection is his thing. He loves bringing life to dead situations. But all you got to do is trust him. I dare you to trust him. I promise you, if you trust him tonight, I promise you, if you trust him tonight, he will take your dead situation and he will resurrect it. Amen. I'm going to turn it back into the hands of Dr. Clay. Thank you so much for this wonderful evening. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Are there any comments for Bishop Harris?
I just want to say, wonderful message, wonderful. Just as the psalmist David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So when he was down and out, he started to encourage himself by speaking the word of God, and we have to do the same thing. And when we open our mouths, we need to be saying the word of God, not saying what we see and what we feel, nor what we think, but what the word of God says about the situation. And
Amen.
I know myself, I've been battling for the past month or so, a week, and it's a battle. It has been a battle. But I can. He said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'd raise up a standard against him. So the word of God is that standard. So whenever I be attacked, I bring the word of God on. And as he said, you got to know the word. You laying down, sleep, whatever, you need to know the word of God. You need the word of God in you. In order to renew our minds, we have to have the mind of Christ, and that means knowing what his word is, who he is, and what he's done for us, and who he will continue to be for us as well, you know? So I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for that word. Thank you.
All mics open. If there are any comments.
Good evening. Good evening, L. Clay and family.
Mr. Robinson, how you doing? Good to be in the house.
Yeah, I got me a new phone, so I know last time I talked, I told you my phone was messed up, and I got my new one now, so praise God for that. But, Bishop, what a word. What a word. I sit here and caught the last maybe 45 minutes of it, which is probably the best part of it. It sank into me real good. Thank you, Bishop, for that word and that encouraging message on tonight. There's a lot of stuff that I've been dealing with lately, and that word tonight was very encouraging for me. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the word.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Another? Man, not everybody at one time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I guess when I get started talking, I guess I just like to keep on talking. somebody has room to speak. I just want to encourage somebody tonight to trust God in every situation and everything you're going through. I'm a living testimony that the Bible says that to trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. It also says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added. So those scriptures have been pondering in my mind and some of the stuff that I've been dealing with. And I know that as Christians, we all go through some stuff, especially being true Christians of God, and you have to deal with other Christian folk who has some ought against you. But if I can say this, Elder Clay and family on radio, internet, or whatever, excuse my French, but when somebody is treating you the way that I've been treated by other Christian members, well, you got to love the hell out of them. So, you know, you got to keep pushing. And I've learned that you got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. And God has really, really and truly, over the last week, renewed my spirit and has renewed my mind. Because Paul says that not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I'm not conformed to what people say. I'm not conformed to what people do. I'm not conformed to how people act and how they feel about me or how they feel about you. But I want to be renewed. I want to be renewed. And God has done that for me over this week. Sorry, Bishop, I just got on a roll. Hey, thank you so much for, again, for that encouraging message.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. As we are coming to our close, I'm looking at the time. We are going to pray. And before we do that, in closing, if you could, Bishop, if you could offer an invitation, because there are those who come on later on to listen to the broadcast. If you could just give an invitation, when they listen to it on the internet, if you could just close it out and pray.
Amen, amen. Truly, we thank God. We praise God. We're going to get ready to close out. I thank God again for Pastor Clay and for his wonderful wife, Dr. Suzanne Clay, for giving this opportunity. And like I said, as we close and we get ready to go home, just remember that there's a resurrection for your situation. And knowing that there's a resurrection, make sure you ask yourself, do you have a same God mentality? Because if he did it once, he'll do it again. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, first we want to come and we want to ask that you reach out on the line. God, reach out to those that are seeking salvation, those that want to be saved, dear God. Lord, we ask that you forgive them of their sins, dear God. Lord, turn their lives around. Give them a new life, dear God. Change their life, God. Lord, we thank you. And if you're on the line this evening and you're looking to be saved, I want you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you raised your son from the dead. And I give my life to you. And I thank you, God. And I promise you, if you spoke those words this evening, you're saved. I admonish you to go and find you a church in your neighboring community And if you don't know a church, I suggest that you call Pastor Clay, and he can give you a pastor in one of our local communities, cities, areas, wherever you're located. But we want you to find the house of God and get busy and get active, because the same way that God has saved you tonight, the devil will come back in, because he'll find the house swept and clean. He'll want to come back in with himself and seven more demons, and we bind that up. So find yourself a church, a faith-believing church that will take you the way you need to go with your Christian life. Welcome to God this evening. Welcome to Christianity. Let me say it that way. Amen. We're going to get ready and dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. God, we thank you for this ministry. God, we thank you for Dr. Clay and his wife and what they're doing, God. And God, we ask that you bless them. Put a hedge of protection round and about them, God. And we speak prosperity. We speak more finances, God. We ask that you open up the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing that they won't have room enough to receive, God, because they're on the wall doing a work, God, and they refuse to come down. And God, we ask that you bless this line. God, we ask that you go through the internet and touch each and every person, God. Go through the phone lines. Touch each and every person, dear God. You know what they're going through. You know what they're dealing with, God. But, Lord, we thank you because we know that there's a resurrection for their situation. So, God, we stand on your word tonight. Resurrect their dead situation, God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. Lord, we thank you for salvation this evening, for those that you've saved and that you've given life to, those that you are changing their lives as they go. God, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you. And your darling son,